Jesus heals a paralytic. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached a word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Thanks, Nathaniel. I hope Beach Hut is good for you. Suppose after this service, I was to invite you back for Sunday lunch. If you're wise, you'd say, "Well, who's cooking?" And I'd say, "It's my wife." You say, "Oh, okay then, I'll come along." And if you came along to our house, you'd get there, if you had a look around, if I showed you around, some ideas, some clues of what I care about. It's probably true for your home as well. In your home, there are signs there of things that are really important to you. Outside, you see a member of our household. Here she is, kind of dark. But this is Mildred, the camper van. We have traveled miles and miles in her. I mean, she's not just a thing. She's a bit sick at the moment. That's why the cable is going through to her battery. But Mildred, really important to us. Here's another member of the household. Rob, just there we go. That's Heike. We love taking him for a walk and a run. He's really important to us. Member of the family. One thing we're not so keen on is dog training. That's why he's sitting on the couch, as usual. But little bit of an insight as to who we are. And here's my desk. If you looked at that, you'd see some sermon notes. There's a bicycle repair shop. Some French phrases I've been trying to learn this week. Signs of who I am. What's important to me. Now, Jesus can be at home anywhere on earth, wherever he's welcomed. He really hopes to be welcomed in his church, where he is at home. The whole basis of this Vision Sunday and our vision as a church, frankly since 1867, is to think about and then to do what is really, really important for Jesus. And giving us confidence that today's Vision Sunday is not just a vision of our ideas, it's that what we see and what we hope for and dream of for All Saints Peckham here is what we see Jesus doing and being wherever he's at home on earth in Scripture. Today's Vision Sunday reading from Mark chapter 2. If it's not open, would you like to open it at page 1003? We're going to have a look at what is really important to Jesus there that we want to do here. And then Nick's going to come up. And after we've heard from God's word here, he's going to put some flesh on the bone and answer the question you might be having. Well, so what? So what does this word of God in the Gospel of Mark practically mean over the next few months and years, and indeed for good here? Nick, until a few days ago, you may be aware, you may not, was our ops director here at All Saints. And it is not least thanks to him, along with others, that today we have a vision that's a lot more inspiring than just repairing stuff, than just having a look at damp patches, which you might have noticed. Think, oh, better do something about that. No, God's got something we believe that's a lot bigger and more inspiring. Nick's going to tell you something about that, and we thank him for his passion that's come out on Vision Sundays and his skills that's helped us get to where we are, along with that of many others. And then finally, we're going to give you a way to respond with a pledge card you have. What is important to Jesus? What's important to him here? Mark chapter 2, verse 1. What's he doing? He's doing what he's always doing. Look at verse 2. This house where Jesus has been welcomed into, it's very possibly the house of his right-hand man, Simon Peter, the disciple, in Capernaum. It is packed out with all sorts of people. Jesus is the holy God making God accessible, saying, welcome to all sorts. No building can contain this God. That's why straight after this story, in the next verse, Jesus is out and about. You look up to the hills, and that's where you can see your hope comes from, said the psalmist. You can make your bed in the depths, said the psalmist. You find Jesus there. Jesus on earth was always being accessible, saying to the lost, the least, the last, are welcome. In this house, there's no bouncer at the gate. There's no one selling entry tickets at the door. There's no one asking for your qualifications, whether you make the cut. This is informing our vision. As I said, since 1867, we've been saying the words in this Church of England church, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. And our passionate prayer is that's not a line of liturgy, but a living reality. And where the Lord is at home, one sign of what he cares about is that there's a welcome for all comers. And where this welcome has been going on for many years, and where God's word is being preached faithfully, as is happening here, we'll see in a minute, A description of these sort of places by Celtic Christians is that they are thin places. Have you ever heard that expression before? A thin place. Somebody's described it as places on earth where the distance between heaven and earth collapses, where you get a sense of Jesus being in the house. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. A sense, to be honest, Rutli and I had when we first came here. I think I mentioned it last Vision Sunday. A sense that God is in the house. He wants to be at work. The holy God who is accessible to unholy people like me, like you, saying, come in. If you can't get in through the door, come on down through the roof, as we see here. He's being accessible. This is what Jesus cares about, reconciling unholy people to our holy God. It's what he's doing in Simon's house. Here's another thing that he cares about. Look at verse 2. What is Jesus doing to attract so many people that there's no room left? He preached the word to them. Can you see that? Mark 2, verse 2. Jesus is preaching the word. This is not just any old word. Mark, the writer of this book called a Gospel, has summarized what Jesus' word is in the previous chapter. If you look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus' whole message can be summed up as good news. Jesus is speaking good news to those crowding into this house. And what happens next? So what? So what is this good news? Well, what happens next is, if you like, a visual aid, a demonstration of what his good news is. A hymn writer called it amazing grace. Somebody else called it outrageous hospitality. Good phrases. The paralyzed man, he's an example of it. He's responsible, essentially, for the vandalizing of Simon Peter's roof. And Simon's just about to get out his mobile to ring his lawyer or the police, and he realizes they haven't been invented yet, but that's what he wants to do. And everybody else is pretty annoyed. At this moment, I had a great idea last Tuesday of getting somebody, an actor, to interrupt the sermon, you know, and just really make a fuss. But I thought, that would be fraught with problems. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I wonder what they teach you at theological college to do about this. Or some of you might have come up and helped me, and then you realize it's Tim Armstrong who is coming in, just being a gimmick. So we didn't do that. But supposing it did happen, supposing somebody came in through the roof, I'd be pretty annoyed. Jim, our site manager, would be pretty annoyed. All the cleaners in the church, pretty annoyed. What's he doing? What does Jesus do? Outrageous hospitality. Son, your sins are forgiven. He calls him a child of God, and he heals him on the inside, on the outside. I did an audit the week before last of people who come onto this site. Quite a quiet week the week before last. 960 people came onto this site for all sorts of different reasons. Some CAP friends, Christians Against Poverty, people trying to get out of debt. They came to see Winnie and Rachel, who work here. Lots and lots of people, I don't know how many, who are parents or carers, a lot of carers with toddlers, came on a Wednesday to fill up the hall. Quite a few people came for a wedding. 50 guests and 20 servers came for the food cycle meal that happens in the church hall every Saturday. Young people came for a live and explore and after school clubs. It was 960, anyway. Just imagine doubling that number of people coming into a thin place, 2,000 people, every week, so that Jesus can do more here of what he cares about. This is what our vision is for. We've called it Making Space for Good in Peckham with our site and all that goes on here. It's really making space for Jesus to do his thing in Peckham. I came to the food cycle meal last night, and it is really good news. I mean, it just is. You've got lots of people sitting down in our hall. If you've been there, you know what it looks like. And you've got loads of people, all of them, it seems to me, in their early 20s, and they've got over 300, actually, on the books wanting to help serve this meal every Saturday, cooking free food and then serving it. That's good news, good news. Next Friday, Rachel and Winnie have organized a CAP night where all the CAP friends, as we call them, from this church and other churches locally are coming here to hear the good news. And those who receive Jesus will do so. The area manager, who's called Sally Utting, she's saying the same good news Jesus is preaching and being in this house in Capernaum. We're about getting out this good news for as many people as possible, that this is a thin place of welcome where outrageous hospitality is on offer. And here's a final good news headline that's going on in Capernaum and that's been happening here, and we want more of it to happen here. This is a picture of Jesus, his healing, of his welcome, his touch, his presence and embrace, bringing his very real healing into people's lives, to transform lives. If Jesus is in the house, one sign of it is lives changed for the better. And that's definitely the experience of this paralyzed man. Everybody watches, coming down. Son, your sins are forgiven. And as a sign of the inner healing that the man gets, the slate being wiped clean, the good news that extends to everyone thanks to Jesus' death on a cross, his resurrection, to everyone who receives Jesus, they have the right to have the same name, a son, a daughter of God, John's gospel says. This paralyzed man is like any one of the 960 of us who came here last week. He's got his own baggage, his own need for healing. I have, you have, he had. His was just kind of obvious. He couldn't move. But just as great is his invisible need on the inside that Jesus speaks to here in verse 5. You see, any one of us can be like him, paralyzed on the inside. Maybe paralyzed, it seems we can't do anything, by thoughts that just keep on the same old thing we can't get away from. Habits, things we do, we just can't seem to break. Fears and worries that just seem to like paralyze us. Jesus, God's word in the flesh, has the power to heal our paralysis of body, mind, and spirit. This man's body, mind, and spirit. You see, Jesus is preaching the word, verse 2, and he is the word. What he says and what he does, it's the same thing. We want to be preaching the word in word and deed through everything that goes on here for the next months, the next years, for good, to make space for the good Jesus wants to do here. And Jesus, you could say, can do that anywhere, and you'd be right. He can do it in the hills. He can do it in the depths. In one sense, he doesn't need a site redevelopment. We're aware of that. He's been changing lives here for many, many years. But here's the thing. As we've looked over PCC minutes, that's parochial church council, that's where decisions here are made, over the last years, there's been a longing in God's people's hearts for long before I came. Not before all of you came, some of you have been here for many years, but long before some of us came. And there's been a sense that it is great that our hall here is used, for example, by the parents and toddlers. But wouldn't it be great if they could meet in a place that wasn't actually designed as a school in 1867? Wouldn't it be great if all the counseling and prayer ministry that goes on was actually in rooms that were kind of like soundproof or at least designed for counseling? Wouldn't it be great if the youth were currently packed into an office room, which we've made more youthy, but nevertheless is frankly the lounge of an old vicarage. Wouldn't it be great if there was enough room for them? By the grace of God, Jesus is doing some good news here. But this is a time we believe God is inviting us to pray, as previous PCCs and vicars have done, as Jabez did. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. It's 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. You'd enlarge my territory. That we'll be able to praise God as the people in the house in Capernaum did, saying, we've never seen anything like this. So I'm going to hand over to Nick now to spell out a little more what that could look like and what that exactly means. Nick, thank you.
Cheers. In a minute, Jonathan's going to be giving three asks. He's going to be asking for people to think about giving money by way of a standing order once a month, to give a one-off donations, and also to come to an event that we'll be holding in November to kind of launch the site development project. And I just want to sketch out the thinking behind each of those three things so that you understand where they fit within the wider context of this church. We have an annual budget of about £500,000, give or take, each year. Most of that, 95%, comes from the generous giving of the congregation. By and large, the largest proportion of that is the monthly giving, and that, from our perspective on the staff team, is the giving that we know we can rely on. The church offering is great. We're very thankful every time we get money through it. We're very thankful, of course, for one-off donations. But from a budget and the day-to-day planning, the lifeblood of the church is really those monthly standing orders that we receive. And this year, the PCC, in conjunction with Jonathan, have made really two big decisions that require us to look at our monthly giving. The first decision is that we have taken two interns as of this September. We pay our interns the London Living Wage, but we take from that the tuition fees that we pay because they're part of a year-long program studying the Bible in a very practical sense and looking at the question of youth work and children's work. But we've taken the decision this year that we as a church and as a PCC wanted to support the next generation of Christian leaders. And on that basis, the decision was taken, although we didn't allow it in the budget, for a second intern, because we thought that was something that God was calling us to. So that's the first reason that I would really ask you today to think about your regular giving. It really does come down to practically actually supporting the lifeblood of the church and what goes on. And the second substantial decision that we've taken as a church is that I have stepped down as of last week, and Tom, who's sitting in the back, is coming on staff in December. And that's going from a two-day-a-week post, which is what I am currently was on, and Tom will be coming on staff full-time. And again, that's going to be a substantial increase in what we need. So we're prayerfully asking you to consider whether we could increase our standing offering by up to about £20,000. And what does that practically mean to you? Well, the church is made up of about 200 to 250 adults who can give money. Now, we're all in very different financial circumstances, but to give you some idea of how that breaks down, if 200 people decided to give £10 a month, that would equal £24,000. So that will cover those increased costs. But as I said, we all have different amounts, and some of you don't have any money, and that's absolutely fine, and please hear that from us. But that's the thinking behind this idea of the regular giving. And Tom's role and why it's gone full-time is that very, very much part of this, and we'll speak about it in a minute, is this idea of this space for good and the fact that we need some on-the-ground fundraising support, which I simply couldn't give on a two-day-a-week post. So what about the one-off giving? Well, I'll tell you why we need it in a minute, but I just want to talk about some of what we've done this year. And I think sometimes you have to give thanks to God for what he provides. So in April, we completed a feasibility study, and I'll talk you through what that is planning and what's going to happen in the final bit when we talk about the launch party. But it identified as part of that some real quick wins that we could do as a church to increase the flexibility. The feasibility study's job is to kind of get us to think about what we want to be and what the site should look like. And out of that, we looked at the question of the pews, which I know for many of us are frustrating, and for many of us they were wonderful things. But one of the things it raised through the feasibility study was, if we were a church that wanted to be flexible and use this space, did the pews help us do that? And so part of the feasibility study was, well, actually, we might want to change that. And here's where God steps in, isn't it? Because St. Stephen's Twickenham said, well, we've got some chairs. So we have chairs. And I think we need to give a round of applause to God. Because in my other job, I work for something called the Royal Society of Arts, big London institution, we spend lots of money on different things, and one of the things we do is the fabric of our building. So if I want to tell you what we've done this year, we have replaced these chairs, we put carpet in, we've rewired, and we're getting a new projector soon. And normally, we should budget as a church for 50 to 60k to do that. Maybe a bit more if you include VAT. Well, this year, we've done it through the gift of these chairs, through the time commitment of so many volunteers and staff team. We've done that for less than £10,000. And that's amazing. So shall we just thank God for that? As I say, we hope these are a gift to the church. We're going to use them on the launch party, which I'll speak about in the meantime. But can I just say, my experience of working in the church is, God really is a God of miracles. He really does transform lives, and he really does care about us. And sometimes we pay lip service to those kind of words, but actually he does make a difference. So we've done the pews and the electrics this year. For those who have used the kitchen area, sometimes a fuse goes. It's all right. There's 32 amps running to it. It's safe now. For those who've been in the church once when everything went off, just so you know, the church is no longer run at best it was 2 13-amp sockets. So praise the Lord for that. So we're making progress. But that will give us great flexibility for like how we use this space. We've now got supplies at the back, we've got sockets on the pillars, and we've got a new projector coming soon, and we've got the new 2 side screens. So we're just trying to increase in what we can do as a church. But what's the next step? Well, the next step is this. There's been 2 redevelopment projects which is founded on one particular problem on the site, and that problem is that we don't own the vicarage. Now, the reason we don't own the vicarage is because all the vicarages belong to the diocese. Fine. Jonathan just happens to have 2. So we did and have done quite a substantial amount of work, and another miracle that's happened is we realised that the paperwork was never properly completed with the diocese to move it fully into their control, which actually the diocese is very thankful for, and we're very thankful for, because it gives us huge flexibility as to the price that we can pay for getting that back from the diocese. So can you be praying, as Jonathan starts discussions with the diocese, that we get a fair price for that space? And can you consider whether you can contribute today to helping us make that possible? There were 2 feasibility studies carried out, one by Frog, the previous incumbent, and one by Bob, the incumbent before that. And both had amazing plans, and both plans rested on, really, obviously, making the site whole again. And that has really, in many ways, stymied and prevented the church doing the thing it needs to do for the past 15 years. And our prayer is over the next 6 months to a year that we will take that away, because we believe that that is the next step. Now, we're at the very initial stages of those discussions, and the tentative amount that we have asked the diocese to consider, and we've got another meeting, is the figure of £100,000. And that is to recognise the fact that in some senses is a landlocked site that has no value. In other senses, it's a £1 million spot that the diocese could technically convert. And to recognise as well that Jonathan has the privilege of a very expensive property that the diocese did buy Bob many years ago. But please, please, please consider if you can give to that amount to that figure to help us, as it were, make this site one again and to unite it all so that we can then move on to the next stage. So what is the next stage? Well, I think we've got a video if all works well. So as part of the feasibility study in April, we looked at what we wanted to do with the site. And we're looking at a substantial development, which is going to cost, well, up to about £5.5 million. And, you know, in one sense, that feels a lot of money. But then in a sense, if we can redo the pews for £10,000, then what? Stopping God. So So we need your help. We're going to have a launch party in November, but when you're trying to raise that kind of money, we're going to need all of your help. We need you to talk about the gospel to your friends, to talk about what it means to be part of this church to your neighbours, because we're going to need a much bigger support than we have as just ourselves here. And the vision behind this is that we're going to kick off that with what we do best. A party, a three-course meal, 250 people, a dinner and dance in the church. Why? Because we can now. And why? Because we're Peckham, and we do parties the best. And what's that dream about? Well, the dream is this, that one day we want to turn this church, that we want to make the entrance in that corner, that we want to fix the stonework of the building, that we want to have a cafe space in there. That's phase one, in the corner, and that we knock through there, and that there's then a covered entrance way to connect the rest of the site. And then phase two, which is the even bigger phase, is this idea that having bought the vicarage, we can knock down the vicarage, that we can connect through to the to the hall, and that we can put mezzanine level into the hall, and that we can double the space that we've got for the church. But that isn't about us, and none of this is about us. This is all about serving Peckham, and this is all about serving God. Because when it comes down to it, what really matters is that we join in with what God is wanting to do in this place. Thanks.
So before we worship God together, I'd like you just to take the pledge card, which you should have received as you came into church, and we're asking you to pray about it, maybe to fill it in today, more likely to pray about it, to think about it this week. If any of this that we're talking about is going to happen, as Nick said, it needs the help of Almighty God. But that's exactly what he promises, his help. Where does our help come from? Comes from the God who made heaven and earth, when we call on his name and step out in faith. And this pledge card that you've got to pray over is something to step out in faith with by giving what you can. Okay. One thing might be for you the easiest thing is your time on the evening of our launch party, November the 19th. You saw the video. So you can pledge to come to that, just to be here. We need to know numbers. One thing happening, if you saw the video, we'll be telling you more about that, is an auction of promises. Whoever you are, however rich or poor you are, if you can offer something to be auctioned, it could be your time, it could be your skill, it could be your camper van. Well, yeah, it could be. Any object you're prepared to give away, fill that in. Fill in it. It is part of this, it's not just to raise money, it's to raise awareness of who we are at All Saints Peckham. Your widow's mite or a millionaire's million are all used by God. An auction of promises is for anyone to be involved. If you say, I'm prepared to offer this, who'll bid for it? And we're going to be doing that on the night. None of God's work here, as Nick said, can be done without the resources of money. You've heard about this year's budget, just over $500,000. Without money, nothing, not some things, but without your giving, many things we do would stop. As I said at the beginning, if you want to know a bit about what I care about, you can come to my house. You could also, if I knew you well, look at our bank accounts. What we, my wife and I, give money to is a good sign of what we care about. I think that's true for anyone. What you give financially to is something you think is worthwhile. If having thought and prayed, whether you've got a widow's mite or a millionaire's million or anything in between, if you think you can and you want to give to this vision with a regular standing order, or if you can through a lump sum so we can get Making Space for Good for Peckham started, will you fill in the pledge card? If you need to be contacted, we'll do that within a fortnight. Maybe you don't need that. You can sort it all out yourself. If you've got any questions, any queries, we are happy to contact you about them. But either fill in that card today or bring it back next Sunday. Give it into the collection. Post it through the office door in an envelope. We're asking you to consider starting to give or increasing, if you can, your standing order that you already give. Fill in the pledge card, tick the box. Maybe, as we found, we've been giving the same amount for many years and were convicted by God through a sermon here, actually, by Andy Blacknell, to just think that through again. I finish with this. Our experience is you cannot outgive God. We see him providing for us as a church here, just in the short time I've been here. My wife and I have seen him providing for us. Since we started tithing, we believe in this biblical principle, giving a tenth what you earn, we've never been richer. This isn't emotionally blackmailing God. This is taking Jesus at his word. He said, give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure, poured into your lap, and running over. I just have to say, this is our experience, our testimony. It's the experience of this church. So if you can, your time, your talents, or your money, to invest in this, not just for the next months or the next years. It's called for good because it's the good Jesus wants to do, and it's for good, for eternal purposes here. As the band come up, would you please stand with me? If you've got the pledge card held in your hand, as I pray for us, his church. Lord God, we are all about joining in with what you're doing. Lord God, whatever is of you in this, what we've seen you've been doing here since 1867, we see you doing it in a house in Capernaum. Whatever your plans to enlarge in our territory, that's your kingdom, to enlarge your kingdom, that it be more fruitful, not our own, but yours. Would you give us the faith and the resources to work with you, to invest in your work? Would you build your kingdom? Would you build your church, which is your people who use bricks and mortar and designs and spaces for you to do your good in Peckham and beyond?